Amen. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 9. The writer of Hebrews writes, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the saying example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yeah. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need."
Amen.
Amen. Lord, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the power of the word of God. Thank you for the word of God that's alive. A discerning word, able to discern the thoughts and discern our needs, even when we might not want to discern them ourselves. Father God, thank you for the church. Thank you for Jesus Christ shedding of his blood for it. We ask that you be with us today. Speak a word to our hearts that we can apply to our lives, so we can walk out of here different, stronger, more encouraged, ready to do battle, come what may. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The writer of Hebrews, talking about the word, I'm going to concentrate on verse number 12. All of it's good. All of it's good. We'd be here all day. All of it's good. But as believers, and as I go through the series on talking about the word, we've talked about being saved by the word. We've talked about being empowered by the word. We've talked about being delivered by the word, being sanctified by the word. The word of God does so much for the believer. Does so much for the believer. And here today we look at the word of God in a different light, a powerful word, a word that's alive. That word "quick" means a word that's a living word. It's a living word, it's not a dead word. Amen. Man, people say, "Hey, you get so excited, you get so animated when you preach, and it's exciting." The word of God is alive, and when we become men and women of God, we get that word in us. We get that word in as a young lady asked her mother, "Why is the church so noisy? Why are the preachers so noisy?" And he said, any man that's on fire going to be screaming. I see so many preachers, they so smooth. They so smooth with the word of God. Jeremiah said the word of God is like fire, shut up in my bones. And this is what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He said, "Let us labor. Let us work hard at this." We get saved and we just stop. We get saved and that's it. Paul said, "No, you gotta work this thing. The evidence of you being saved is that you're gonna labor. You're gonna work. You're not gonna quit after you get one check. Okay, you get one check. You get paid on Friday. You work 4 weeks to get one check, and you don't show up no more. No. Paul, the writer of Hebrews said, let us labor. Why? Therefore, to enter into that rest. What rest are you talking about? That rest of eternal life. That rest of eternal glory. That rest of being with Jesus in heaven. That's the rest we work for. Amen. And the evidence that you own the right road. People say, well, you can't tell if a person is saved or not. Oh, yes, you can. Amen. Don't let them fool you. Nah, you can't tell if somebody's saved or not. Everybody say they're saved. How can you tell? There's going to be some labor there. There's going to be some labor there. And it's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. It's not going to stop. You know, and people say, well, you know, I hit or miss, hit or miss, hit or miss. Let me tell you something. Nobody hit or miss on a real job. You got a real job, you ain't hit or miss. You hit a couple times, and then you'll be up in the HR office. And they'll say, where do you want us to send your last check? See, we come to church and we hit or miss. One of God's hit or miss. He said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Why? Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. You know what unbeliever is? Hit or miss. Hit or miss. Not important. I can do without it. I can take it or leave it. I don't want to go there. I want to talk about this word. I want to talk about this word. Because the writer of Hebrews said, the word of God. The word of God spoke. The word of God spoke through men that were filled with the Spirit of God. The word of God. Canonized, complete. God not still adding to the Bible. God not adding. Nobody said add. Well, I'm getting revelation. No, it's the word of God is complete. Amen. No more editing it. So you can edit something. You can go online and if you don't like it, you can edit it. Hit the edit button, change something, add something, take something out. Listen, the word of God is finished. It's complete. God not adding nothing. Amen. Okay? Somebody say, well, you know, God spoke to me. God speaks to his word. You're not walking down the street, hear a voice, and God's listening. I need you to do something. Listen, if you hear that voice, go to your word. Line up what he said with the word. Amen. God speaks through his word to his people. Amen. And the word of God is alive. It wouldn't need to be quick if God was still speaking. And the word of God is quick. It's alive. Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, I'm going to probably say that because I believe Paul was a writer of Hebrews, but it doesn't say he was. So excuse me when I say Paul because I know I'm going to say it because it sounds like Paul. But he says three things about this word. He finds three things about this word that you have to find as a believer. Three things. The word of God is quick. The word of God is powerful. And the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay? And then Paul talks about what it does. Piercing even to the dividing and asunder of soul and spirit. And of the joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and in the intents of the heart. Only God's word can do that. I can't stand here and the word of God said a man don't even know his own heart. Okay? Jeremiah said, the heart of man is what? Most wicked, deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You can't. Some of you don't even know what you're capable of doing. Amen. God knows. And his word will expose that. I hear people always say, well, you know, how did you know I was going through that? Or how did you know that was happening in my life? And you spoke just what I was thinking. Listen, I don't know what anybody here thinking. I know if I preach the word of God, I'm going to touch some folks. Amen. If I preach my story, it don't matter. Amen. I don't have nothing to say about me that's going to change anybody. Amen. Nothing about the preacher going to save a soul. Amen.
That word has to be preached. That gospel has to be preached.
And Paul says, in the writer of Hebrews says, the word of God is that vehicle that we use. It's a living word. It's alive and it's quick and it's ready to help somebody. Somebody say, love lifted me. Okay? Listen. And you go back to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. And I didn't want to read the whole chapter, but verse 1 talks about this word. It talks about this word in a mighty way. Hebrews 4 and 1 says this about the word of God. He said, let us therefore fear. That word fear means have reverence for the preached word, lest a promise being left us of entering in to his rest. To his rest. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest and any of you should come short of entering in. I don't know if I read all that right. The word of God has to be preached. The word of God has to be believed. Look at verse 2. Look at verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached. Okay? What is the gospel? Some say, man of God, what's the gospel? Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. This ain't real deep. People say, oh man, you know, I hear preachers doing all the homiletic and hermeneutics and all that. Let me tell you something. Here's the gospel. And the gospel was preached. God died for your sins and rose from the grave. For God so loved the world. Here's the gospel in a nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, lived in this world for 33 and a half years, died on a cross, not for his sins but ours, was buried, and rose on the third day. Stay with this verse. For unto us was the gospel preached. That's why I do John 3:16 every week. I have to. As well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Ephesians 2:8-9. So we go 3:16, 2:8-9. You need faith to believe. Somebody say, well, you know, the word of God is, you know, I don't believe it. It don't make no sense to me. It's stupid. You got to be crazy to believe that Bible. And you don't know who wrote it. And a bunch of men got together and wrote it. Listen to me. Say, listen. Know what that person is saying? He's begging. He's saying, I need the faith to believe. So when you pray at night, when you got loved ones who tell you, I don't believe. That's for you. You go head on. You take that Bible, you go head on. And it ain't for me. You know what they asked him? You know what they saying? I don't have the faith to believe. I don't have the faith to believe. We're not born wanting to believe. We're not born wanting to believe. We're born in sin. We're born with an unbelieving heart. And if we're not saved, we're not born again, we will die with an unbelieving heart. And if God doesn't graciously say, listen, you ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. And how would they hear? Without a preacher. How would they hear? How would they hear that they need faith to believe? For by grace are you saved. Through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved. How? Through faith. And not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It didn't come with the original package. This is an add-on. You walking and living a faithless life, and then you have to see the preacher preach. You know, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. Preacher, how do I get saved? You have to have faith to believe. That's what the text is saying. Watch it again. Let me read it again. Verse number 2 of Hebrews 4:1. And for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Two groups of people heard the gospel. One believed, One didn't. Well, I could put it another way. Okay? Two people standing outside the hospital, and then there's the, they went for the elevator. Sitting on the fourth floor. Some going up, some going down. Two buttons there. It all depends which one. Which, you know, that button's going up. Oh, I'm going down. Two people. Two groups of people hearing the gospel. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? Why? Because it's going to cost you something. It's going to charge you. It's going to confront you. And you're going to look at your wife, and you're going to look at the things that you're into, and you're going to say, that's going to cost me something. Now, a whole lot of folks ain't married today. A whole lot of folks ain't married. A lot of folks don't even think about getting married. That's a sad commentary. Men ought not be single. And honestly, I could use scriptures and refute it's a sin for a man to be single. I could go to the Bible and explain that to you. And say, let me tell you why. Because God made woman for man. He ain't make enough. Yes, he did. He ain't made the right one for me. Well, let me tell you something. God made the right one for you. Okay? But the reason why a man don't get married is the same reason why a woman don't get saved. Because it's going to cost me something. I hear you, Evelyn. Okay, it's going to cost you something. When you get married, guess what? You get married, somebody else, and you and the person get married. Both of y'all got places. You don't need two refrigerators in the kitchen. Somebody going to have to give up their refrigerator. I ain't giving up my refrigerator. Okay, you get married, and you meet both, and there's a one-car garage, and both got, whose car going in the garage? You understand what I'm saying? So these people heard the gospel. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. What's the writer saying? Everybody heard it. Same gospel. There's no different gospels. You know? If we preaching the gospel here and they preaching the gospel on the south side, it's the same gospel. Amen. Okay? Amen. There ain't one gospel. Amen. There ain't no two gospels. But, you know, they can't say, well, you know, I don't go to that church over there on the east side because they preach the gospel. Listen. It's the same gospel. By all rights, you should be able to go to any church that calls himself a gospel preaching church and hear the gospel. Amen. Okay? Just like you can go to any Kentucky Fried Chicken and they all going to be selling what? Chicken. That's just the way it is. Ain't nobody, well, they got different chicken over there. Same chicken. Same coleslaw. Same mashed potatoes. It tastes about the same at all Kentucky Fried Chickens. They don't mix it up too much. Okay? Same secret recipe. Watch this though. For unto us was the gospel preached. I know I'm staying on this long, and I need to. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as to them. But the word preached did not profit them. Use your imagination. Why didn't it profit them? The word of God is designed to profit us while hearing it. Okay? But it didn't profit them. The Bible says it didn't profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And they were heard, and I mean, they understood it. They understood what it was saying. They understood the demands of it. They understood the cost of it. See, a lot of preachers don't want to tell you the cost. And come to Jesus, oh, everything's going to be better. That's not true. That's not true. You come to Jesus, and things may get worse. Okay? You come to Jesus, and you may get kicked out the family. There's stories of Jews and Muslims that have come to Jesus and died. You don't let these preachers tell you, you come to Jesus and everything's going to be all right. No. You may come to Jesus and your wife may not. You may come to Jesus and your husband may not. And now you now Sunday's a different day, and now you coming home all sanctified. See, it may change some things. It may change some things. You may change your job. You leave your job on Friday and you was at the St. Patrick's Day parade and party and everything. Then you go to church on Sunday, hear the word of God, and go back to work on Monday saved, and now you different. Now people look at you different. You're not cussing no more. You ain't messing around no more. You ain't cheating on your wife no more, or your husband or whatever. You ain't flirting with all the women because now you say things like, what's wrong with you? And you get kicked out of the good boy club. Now you ain't wearing Daisy Dukes and miniskirts and stuff. Now you dress properly as a woman. And they say, what's wrong with you? We don't like that. So it's going to cost something. That's why it didn't profit them. It didn't profit them. Because they looked at it and they said, this is going to cost an awful lot for me to accept. Okay? And if I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it's going to cost me something. Now watch verse 3. This is where it gets interesting. Verse number 3 of Hebrews chapter 4. Watch what the writer of Hebrews says. Now, we talk about the ones that didn't profit them nothing. Watch these folks. These folks believed. Verse number 3. For we which have believed. What's that word believe mean? I'm not trying to be condescending in any way. But that word believe, people throw it around, you know? R. Kelly ain't singing that song no more. He's singing something. Listen, he ain't believing he can fly now. See, we throw them words around. Well, I believe. Listen. For we which have believed. Believe what? See, I'm just that kind of preacher. If I see that word, I want to believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Man, this ain't easy to believe. I say it over and over, you know. Joshua looking at me like, he on that again? He on that every Sunday. Every Sunday. Amen. Joshua, when you 20 years old, you come to church, you could be just like Ray back there. He goes like, he on that again? 20 years, man. It's just a successful message. The New England Patriots been doing the same thing for 20 years. They ain't changing. I had to throw that in there. That's my illustration. Right, Kirsten? They ain't changing. They ain't going out signing all these high-priced players. They just go pick up some scrubs. Don't even know who they are. Throw the ball around, be in the Super Bowl. See, that's how they do. That's their formula. This is God's formula. For we which have believed. Believe what? The gospel. The gospel. Jesus was born of a virgin. How's that possible, man? He was born of a virgin. And he lived for 33 years and never committed a sin. You believe that? Then they crucified him on a cross. Why? He died for our sins. He died for our sins so we wouldn't have to die in them. And they buried him and he rose. And we which have believed do enter the rest. That's the ticket. See, that's the ticket. You know, old folks used to say it was the ticket stamped in blood. And that blood they met was the blood of Jesus. That you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the grave. Amen. That's your ticket. You can't get to heaven no other way. And then one man tried to get to heaven. Y'all know the story. He got up to heaven. He didn't believe, but he still wanted to be in heaven. And Jesus spotted him. Jesus spotted him and said, what are you doing here? You unbeliever, you unbeliever. The Bible said they bound him and cast him into eternal darkness, outer darkness. He said, for we which believed do enter into this rest. And that rest for the believer is eternal life. Amen. Is eternal life. And as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, got that plan. And everybody talking about heaven ain't going. And I know that's painful. Painful for me. Because I know I got loved ones that didn't believe and died in their unbelief. And as much as I hate to say it, I say, listen, it's just true. And people don't want to hear truth. Oh, don't say that. Oh, don't say that, little baby. The little baby. Little baby didn't make it to heaven. He didn't believe he didn't. Oh, that's not nice, Pastor. Okay. That's why you only got 9 members. Go over the happening church over across the road. And everybody in heaven. Everybody going to heaven and they having a good time over there. And you over there telling people they got loved ones that didn't make it. Nobody want to hear that. You want to grow a church? You got to find out what people want to hear and tell them. Amen. That's seeker friendly. Tell them what they want to hear and they'll keep coming. And a lot of them will give you a lot of money. The writer says this about God. As I have sworn in my wrath. If they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Say, I am the Lord God, I change not. Okay? The word of God ain't to be played with. It's a living word. The Bible says it's a living word. It's a powerful word. And living means it lives in us. It's living in us. Now I'm sitting here walking around up here, and I'm not the same man I used to be.
Amen.
When God saved me, and when I was born again, when I received Jesus, my Lord and Savior, a new spirit came into me and took up residence.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And then and took over. I can't do what I want to do. I can't just go where I want to go.
Amen.
Okay? I like to fish and golf. I used to like going to ball games and stuff. And you know, and God said, listen, bro, you mine now. You going to church every Sunday. Not dare you miss one. And Wednesday night. You better be on time. I want you to be the first one there, the last one to leave. That's your ministry. Yes, Lord. Because I got a new master, see? Yeah, say folks don't got no master. How you do whatever you want to do? I want your God. See, that's why churches is popular. You can come to our church. We doing whatever we want to do. We doing whatever we want to do. Parking lot full of cigarette butts and blunts and bottles. We would do whatever we want to do. See? But see, when you get saved, you're not going to do whatever you want to do. You're not running it no more. You tell me you got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost, and I'm doing whatever I want to do. That's not biblical. Okay? Oh, Pastor, you. Let's be truthful. Being truthful, Matthew. It's a living word. It's powerful. Let me give you a verse. I have to really look at this verse. I hope I can find it. Turn to Jeremiah 23. I'll give you some time. I need you to turn to Jeremiah 23. This is a good word. Cause see, God had a word for folks that was preaching and wasn't preaching truth. Jeremiah 23. God had a word. He had a word. I call it, y'all know I like calling fake preachers. And you got fake hearers. So you got fake preachers and fake hearers because they don't want to hear the real. Because the real going to shake them up. Nobody want to be shook up. Shake you up. I remember when I played sports in high school and I'd do something stupid on the football field, hit somebody late. I always did that. Hit somebody late. They was all 10 feet out of bounds and I just drive them in. I'm just an angry little boy. You know, I see all, why they throwing all the yellow flags? I'm surrounded by yellow flags. So I come out of the game, and you know, back then when men were men,
amen.
The coach grabbed my face mask and he was shaking it and screaming at me and slapped me on the head, sitting down on the bench. Couldn't do that now. Kier be all out on the field. Oh, don't hit my baby. Don't touch him. See what happens when you come late? And yeah, I know Sylvia be out there too. Don't think I let you off the hook. What'd you coach me? He grabbed my face and shake it. Pow! Get on the bench. I sit on the bench. I hate being on the bench. When I get in the game, do the same thing. Y'all Jeremiah 23. What's this verse? What a wonderful verse. What a wonderful verse. And listen, here's these preachers is misleading the people. And you wonder why so many folks say they're Christians and don't have a clue. Don't have a clue. They ain't go to church. They just, here's Jeremiah said. Jeremiah, God's talking to Jeremiah. He said, I've heard what the prophet said. They're prophesying lies in my name. Saying, I have dreamed. You, let me tell you something. You start talking to preachers, and they tell you, you start preaching what they dreamed. Start making your way to the exit.
Amen.
Okay? And they start telling you, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Okay? Jeremiah 23:25, I'm sorry. How long shall it be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. See, sometimes you have to really read the scripture slow because you will miss all that. They are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts. And you know what's happening in our country today, and especially in the African American church. Brothers and young brothers is calling themselves prophets. They calling themselves prophets and apostles. That's the new, they don't want to call themselves pastors no more. They calling themselves prophets. I have people address me. I'm a pastor, okay? Yeah. Don't come and calling me prophet because I can tell big ones, okay? And I don't want nobody stoning me over or nothing because I say something, I tell Cindy something. Listen, Cindy, I'm on my way home. I'm on my way home. See, that means I'm on my way home. If I'm a prophet, that means I can't stop nowhere. I'll be home in a half an hour. And y'all know how that go. I like to talk. So I tell her I'm a prophet. See, I can't tell a lie if I'm a prophet. I can't say, honey, I'll be home in a half an hour. And I stop and see somebody and start talking about things. And we talking. Next day, oh, I told my wife I'll be home. And you lie now. You get hit me in the head with a stone. Listen. Verse 27. Here's why the prophets do what they do. I want y'all to get in heaven. See, I got a one-track mind. I got one goal. Get y'all ready for heaven. Okay? Get y'all dressed up and get y'all ready for heaven. And when you're laying up here, I ain't got to be lying.
Amen.
I ain't got to be telling no lies and nothing. I can sit here and say, I can sit up here and say with boldness, with clarity, and with dogmatically. This brother knew the Lord.
Amen.
This brother knew the Lord.
Thank you.
Hear me. I got to make up something. Take me 6 weeks to put a sermon together. Watch this verse 27 now. Which think to cause my people to forget my name. Let me tell you something. A lot of these preachers are preaching, and they preaching themselves. And they doing it in the congregation is lifting up the pastor. And if the pastor die, the church die. Ooh, let me tell you something. That's bad theology. And the preacher died. And they have pastor's anniversaries. And it's big. And pastor's anniversary is a big, big, big event of the whole church season. And they lifting up the pastor. Got to take care of the pastor. Let me tell you, you better take care of God.
Amen.
You better take care of the Lord. You better make sure the Lord is taken care of. Okay? Listen, which caused my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. For Baal. That's some strong stuff. I'm going to keep going. Verse 28 of Jeremiah 23. Said, the prophet that have a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that have a word, let him speak my word faithfully. That's what I try to do. Amen. That's the job of the preacher, to try to speak the word faithfully. Faithfully. Okay? Maybe an error here or error there, but the attempt, the goal of Bible gospel preaching is that the man of God speak my word, God's word, faithfully. Amen. Faithfully. Amen. What is chaff to wheat? What is chaff to the wheat, say the Lord? And he said, the word that the false preacher is preaching is like chaff. And the word of the faithful preacher is like wheat. Now, if your money's good, and you like oatmeal, like I like oatmeal. Okay? You ever go buy the dollar oatmeal? And then you get the one with the blue box with the man smiling, the Quaker oat, and you look at the line, they both sitting on the shelf. One is $4.89, and the other one is $1.50. Evelyn, you eat oatmeal. You know what I'm talking about. You know where I'm going with this, right? So you say, well, you know, I'm gonna try the off-brand oatmeal. And you pour it in the box, you pour it in the bowl, and it's all fluffy, and it's like eating shells. That's what he's saying. He said the word of God is like the real wheat. And the fake word is like chaff. And you know what they used to do? Know how they used to get the wheat? Out of the kernel, they lay it on the ground, and they had animals walk over and crush it all up. And then they had like a winnowing room, they call it. And then they would take the wheat and a big like spoon, and the winnowing area was, the wind was blowing, and they would throw it up, and the chaff would blow away, and the real wheat would fall to the ground. See, you need to make sure you get some real wheat.
Amen.
Okay. Because that blow on the race stuff ain't going to hold up when you get to heaven. And you go up there and you got all that chaff. And you're like, it's no good. Let me give you this last verse. Look at verse 29. This is what a wonderful verse. What a wonderful verse. Jeremiah 23:29. And he said, is that my word? Is not my word like fire? What's fire do to chaff? Chaff, whatever you call it, chaff. What's fire going to do? Consume it like nothing. Is not my word like as a fire? I mean, you can't put nothing fake in fire. You put a real log in fire, it's going to burn for a while, but you put them little sticks, going to burn right up. Is not my word like fire, say the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. What's Jeremiah saying? He said, listen, let me tell you something. He said, you're preaching to a hard-headed people. How many of y'all, listen, I can look around this room. I know y'all, okay? I know y'all. Y'all got some hard-headed folks in y'all families, in y'all lives, in y'all's world, y'all co-workers, and people you dealing with, and you sit here like, man, take me at the fire station like, these dudes, man, if they don't, how... Their hearts are so hard.
Amen.
I deal with people, their hearts are so hard.
Amen.
And you wonder, how are you going to ever reach them? How are you ever going to talk to them? How will they ever get saved? If they do get saved, there's only one way.
Amen.
One way. They're not going to get saved by you doing nothing cute. And you doing nothing fancy, and you bringing them something to eat and talking nice to them and singing to them. And no. There's only one way that a hard-hearted man going to get saved.
Amen.
Jesus Christ and him crucified, the word of God. And that's what verse 29 is saying. Listen, and he said, and like a hammer, the word of God is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. In pieces. That's kind of hard I had. And God had to break me. God had to break me. And it hurt. It cost me, and it was painful, and it was. But God had to do it. And I thank God for the preacher who stood dogmatically and preached the gospel. It's hard to find. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus. Have a good time with Jesus and get on the Jesus train. Join the mime team and join the praise dance team. Come on to Jesus, and we're going to have a good time over here. We're on a good time. You know, we'd be up at Lake Erie and some of the boats up on Lake Erie and on some of the front. They had a good time ferry and a good time boat because they're having a good time. And I'm having a good time, and I think saved folks have a good time. We have a good time. I'm not sitting here saying life, when you got to walk around, like you a monk or something, and you out on a desert by yourself. Amen. Good time in the Lord. And if you concentrate too much on having a good time down here, you're not going to want to leave. See? See, sometimes God got to give you like a heads up. Hey, look, you know you're not staying down here long. Okay? Hey, pastor, you know you like, you just turned 62. Okay? Do the math. Do the math. You only got a handful of years left, if that. You better make the most of them. See, we run around here, you know, thinking we ain't going to be down here forever. Don't want to go to heaven. Okay? The word of God. Paul, now this is Paul in 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, and I just want to push this one more time because it's just some serious stuff. And we've been talking this series about the word of God, so, you know, you got to take this thing serious. We got a visitor here. I don't know if you're looking for a church. You just happen to come in this church. But if you stay here for a day, go to the next church. If you're looking for a place to worship, make sure that man of God is faithful to the scriptures. Amen. Don't get caught up in the dance team and the drill team and the mime team and the flag team and all the girls running around being sexy for Jesus. You know, because you can get caught up. Okay? And the word of God says, Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 4:2-4:1. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Paul said, well, this is serious. We got a ministry. And the definition of ministry is to minister. Okay? We are servants. Paul said, we are servants to this ministry. He said, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Now, watch this now. This is the key. Because we'll do anything to draw a crowd. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of truth, commencing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In the sight of God. This is nerve-wracking. I'll be shaking. You say, you preaching. And listen, I'll be a nervous wreck. Come in, I'm just all the way up until the time for me to preach. I'm taking notes. I'm trying to make sure I do this in a way to get God glory. David talked about the word of God, talked about the man of God, talked about the blessed man, this powerful scripture. We know it. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know, you know it's a sin to be at a church. And you know The word of God not being preached faithfully. And you sitting up there like, well, should I go? Should I stay? Pastor ain't no good. The deacons ain't no good. The trustees ain't no good. The women around here, they all wild and they all wild and whorish. And the men, they chasing all the women. And I'm just sitting here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Watch this now. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen. But his delight is in the word of God. That's what the word is saying. His delight's in the word of God. Delight's in hearing the word of God. Delight's in hearing the word of God saying. Delight's in hearing the word of God pray. Delight to be around people who, like him, desire and want to hear the word of God. Amen. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law do he meditate day and night. Now, God said, I'm going to bless that man. I'm going to bless that man. Watch this now. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You know, if a tree could talk. They do talk. And one of my favorite tree scenes is in The Wizard of Oz. And Dorothy and Toto and the Scarecrow came to the point in the road, and a tree, and the tree was throwing apples at them, and they said, which way to Oz? And the tree said, shoot.
You seen The Wizard of Oz?
I love The Wizard of Oz. My favorite movie of all time. That's why. Let me get back. That tree. And that tree is a picture of us. We the tree in this text. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That means that tree was uprooted from somewhere and planted in a place where it could prosper, where it could grow. Watch this now. And he shall be planted by the rivers of water. Make sure you plant it by somewhere by the rivers of water. Don't be planted in no dried up place. Okay? Watch this now. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall never wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. Shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like, hear our word again, chaff, which the wind driveth away. Driveth away. Driveth away. Listen. I'm all over the place. I'm all over the place now with my notes. So y'all just rest with me. I'm going to cover this last one. I'm going to talk about this word of God. When we talk about it, it's like a sword. Cut both ways. They was jumping on it in Sunday school. They was trying to get to my, they always trying to get to my sermon in Sunday school. Ann was trying to get there. We was talking about the sword. Cut both ways. See? And I preach from the position. I ain't got it all together. I got some issues. I got some demons. I got some battles I'm facing. Guess what? When I preach the word of God, that word cut. How? Cut both ways. Cut coming and cut going. Okay? And a lot of times God will say, I want you to preach this, boy. He don't say it audibly. Amen. He said in my spirit, he said, I want you to preach this. And he say, and then I say, God, in my spirit, I say, I'm struggling with that. That's an issue for me. That's an area where I'm weak at. Preach it. I'm calling you to preach your life. I want you to preach the Bible. And guess what? When I hear the word of God, when it's cutting both ways, I'm getting stronger.
Amen.
I'm getting stronger. See, the word of God is designed to strengthen the preacher and the hearer. Okay? Because we both got to get to heaven. Okay? We both got to go to heaven. Paul, right into the Ephesians church in Ephesians 6. 6:17. I almost want to go there. Ephesians 6. Paul is writing to the church. And he's telling the church, yo, we got to get ready. We got to get ready. This battle we facing, we got to be suited up. When Jeremy was praying, he said something in his prayer that made me think about, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. and we can't, we gotta stay focused to the fact that we are on the battlefield. See, I mean, you out on the battlefield, and folks over there in Iraq, okay, folks over there in Iraq and Iran, and them soldiers over there, they're not running around there playing. They serious, okay? Paul says this. Now I'm gonna get to verse 17. Let me go back. I'm gonna go back. Let me just read it, and then we'll close with it. Look at verse 10. He's talking about his people. Paul wanted his people to be strong. Yeah. It was so important to Paul that his people be strong because he knew what they was gonna face. Mm-hmm. See, we negligent as preachers when we don't warn our people what they getting ready, what you facing. And the devil say, you don't have to listen to that. You got time. Don't worry about that. You know? And I told you, I said, that was my workout buddy, man. I see him at the gym, and he called me school, man. They called me school at the gym. These young brothers, man, every time I see them, they dap me up and stuff, you know? Then, you know, I found out he got his head just shot and dead, just like that, man. And I'm sitting here like, man, that's painful for me. Seeing that young brother. He looked like me too. That's what they did. They would say, man, when you was young, you looked like that. Because I got the guys I've been training for 45 years. And so they said, when you was his age, that's how you looked. All buffed all out. I'm like, what you saying? You know? And then he said, hey school, what's up? You know. Then you know, then you get a phone call, say, hey, you know, that was dude. Work out the gym with us every day. Paul writing Ephesians 6:10, he said, finally, my brethren, people of God, my loved ones. When you see Paul say my brother, he means people I love. Family. He said, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God. Why, Paul? Because you need it. Thank you. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What do you mean? If God on my side, I don't need nothing. I just trust in the Lord. God will take care of it. God will take care. I hear so many weak Christians. Yeah, well, I can't judge. Only God can judge. Listen, you better judge if you need to put this armor on or not. Amen. Only God can judge. Listen, who teaching you that? What kind of preacher teaching his people don't judge? That's blasphemy. Well, we can't judge. Who told you that? That's hellish. You better judge. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If you can't judge, how you even going to know there's a devil out there? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The whole text is talking about we take the word of God and we use the word of God to judge this crazy world. No, Justin, you judge. Don't let nobody tell you can't judge. You judge everything. You test everything, and you test it by the word of God. And you know, why wear a bracelet and say, what would Jesus do? If you can't judge, we got to judge. What would Jesus do?
Amen.
You judging? Okay. They getting high. Everybody getting high. See, they getting high at 12 and 13. Here, don't be fooled. You know, Justin and the kids in middle school and in the eighth, ninth grade, they already started to smoke cigarettes and drink and cussing and ain't nothing new under the sun, is it? Can I keep it real?
Amen.
I got kids where I work at, locked up. You know, kids locked up, 17, 18 year old. The mother come in there, the mother 30. How you 30 and got a 17-year-old son? See?
That mean you were doing something when you were really young. That's all mean. So these kids are exposed to even more, and they got to judge. And if somebody's sitting there saying, you can't judge, and you telling your kid, listen. Okay? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why, Paul? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Okay? This is Paul writing. This ain't me. You got some stuff coming your way. I do. You do. Kenny back there, dealing with some stuff now. Still dealing. All of us in here, we didn't dealing with stuff. Amen. Yes, Lord. And we're going to deal till we die. Yes. That's how we going to deal. We're going to deal till we die. And I can use Kenny, I can use Evelyn, I can use who, everybody in here. Okay?
Amen.
That's why Paul says, wherefore, put on the whole armor of God. And there's nothing in this text about him saying, ever take it off. Nothing. He didn't, well, it's sleepy time. I'm going to take off my armor. You wear it to sleep. And you go over to Iraq, and you think them guys over there in the middle of the battle is sleeping in pajamas with footies? Well, it's nighttime, and we gonna put our pajamas on and take their guns and helmets. No. No. They wear that stuff. Watch what he says. I'm gonna get to verse 17, right? That's my verse, and I'm gonna close. Stand therefore having the loins gird about with truth. Okay? Gird up with truth. Truth is filled with truth. You just want to be filled with truth. That's your nameplate. Truth. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. You truth and you righteous and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You're ready to go. Now it gets to the serious stuff. Above all. That means most serious stuff. Above all. Taking the shield of faith. Y'all know faith has to play its way in here. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because you have your faith. Now I got my shield. My faith is protecting me. And our Roman army would have a big shield. And that faith would have... Shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Last verse. Good. Here we go. And take the helmet of salvation. Protect your head. Watch what you let out into your eye gate. Watch what goes into your ear gate. Watch what people you allow into your life that's have influence over you. That's can con you and talk you into doing something possibly you don't want to do. Protect your head, your mind. And then the last one, and the sword of the Spirit, okay? Which is what? The word of God. Use that word. That word will defend you. It'll defend you from them people that come into your world and you know you don't want to hear. Give them some word. Listen, the quickest way to run a demon out of your life is put some word on them. Put some word on them. And they start talking crazy to you. And you know, you say, well, you know, I was just reading that in Isaiah 63. And they'll turn the conversation. They'll come back on another day. Listen, how we apply this word off to our lives. Okay? It's powerful. It's quick. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Let me just say something about that two-edged sword. Remember the story where it says that Jacob wrestled with a man, okay, all night.
And they said he touched Jacob's hip. And I'm not reading it out of the Bible, so y'all just stay with me. Go back and read it. I think it's in Genesis 32. I got this in Genesis 32:25. But he touched his hip. And the Bible says he touched his hip. And he walked with a limp. Probably needed a cane. See, sometimes God will touch you. That word of God will touch you. And God will let something in your world touch you that will cause you to constantly depend on God. As a man of God, a woman of God, we ought to constantly depend on God. I mean, how many think like that? It can't just be me. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have good days and bad days. But in the bottom line, we have to constantly lean on the Lord.